How many of you are glad to know that the Lord Jesus is always here? How many of y'all glad to know that God is always here? Always here. And so we have a constant. So as we journey today, you got to go back and you got to get 1 Corinthians because it really drives home today, okay? Status is not what brings you to life. What do you think about that? Status is not what brings you to life. Once again, in Corinth, there's a lot of mobility. It's an exciting time in the city. There's opportunity everywhere. It abounds. You can go. You can make money. You can climb the ladder. There's going to be something happening. And guess what? How many? Some of you, this is 8 o'clock, so you all remember this show. How many of y'all remember Cheers? How many of y'all? So y'all remember Cheers. At 11 o'clock, not to make you all feel bad, they don't even know what Cheers is, okay? But you remember Cheers. What was the theme of Cheers? What was the theme of Cheers back in those TV shows? Everybody knows your name. And in a real way, we've set that dial in for this generation, hadn't we? I want my name where? In lights. And it's about the name. It's about your name. It's about your name. Does somebody know my name? Am I going to be on TV? And now you don't even have to be on TV. Because you can YouTube yourself and create your own TV show. And now there's people that even get identification by how many Facebook friends they have. You know, they go, I got 200,000 Facebook friends. I don't know, will it hold that many? Can you get 200,000 friends or whatever? You know, I got so many Facebook friends. Well, let me ask you a question. Are Facebook friends real friends? But y'all say that real quick at 8 o'clock. I bet at 11 o'clock, there's all the most intimate people in the world. But I want somebody to know who I am. Now, I want you to hold that thought because this scripture deals with where are you really going to stand. Now, Corinthians is going to challenge us all because guess what? We're all going to be awakened to some things. We're going to be challenged by some things because there's really a mirror of our moment of time in the church at Corinth. And really here at Hillview, it mirrors a lot of the church of Corinth. As we come out of the world and we begin to follow Jesus Christ. And just as we've witnessed, as we are baptized into who? Christ. What does it mean to follow Christ? And Christ causes controversy. True? How many of y'all realize you're a hold of a radical faith? If you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you absolutely are a biblical believer. Guess what? You have the freedom to live the freedom that Christ gives, but you do not have the freedom to pick and choose what you want to believe out of the Bible and especially discard the parts that don't fit the current cultural motif. Now, here's the problem with following culture. You will never have a constant. You will never have a constant. Because culture changes, and in our world, culture changes about every 8 months. New trends, new thoughts, new abilities. The problem is, if you're a student, okay, and I challenge you, watch this. This is just an observation I've made. People that study and think through usually have a better life than people that stay unaware. How many of you all are aware of that? If you study a little bit of our history in this nation, one of the things that held a democracy together is that we were an educated nation, okay? You have to know how to think to be able to be a democracy. That's one of the problems we have today. We see a lot of foolish thinking because we have a larger sector of our population that doesn't know how to think past what affects them personally. Now, that's the problem with individuality only, that we would just... I mean, how many of y'all say this? Well, I don't believe that. I mean, I don't want to offend you today, but if you get offended, be offended. What would he do? How does it affect several million other people? Wait, what does it really say? What does it really do? Not that I just get mine, but how do we work together in ours? Does that make sense? So I want to hit something the scripture's going to attack today. I want you to write it down. How many of you all have ever been affected in your life so far in this journey on the world by divisions? Anybody been affected by that? Coach Cox, I see you shaking your hand. Hey. Over 40 plus years, I don't want to give away your age because you started coaching when you were 12. But over 40 plus years of coaching, did you ever have some teams that you had to combat division in? And usually division on a football team occurs with this, superstars. Superstars are hard to coach because guess what they think? They think the game is to spotlight them. How many of y'all have ever been involved in academics where somebody in the room thinks they're smarter than everybody else? Here's what I've found. Usually the person that thinks they're smarter than everybody else, you're talking to the most ill-informed person in the room. That's just a hint for you young ones that are impressed with people that quote footnotes. You ought to know that by the time you're in the third grade, most of us know how to read. So you can read and quote a footnote. Just reading somebody else's intellectual work doesn't mean you're an intellectual. It just means that you've informed yourself. But the question is, do you know how to take the information you have and make it work? We're going to deal with that in Corinth because it tells us that a lot of people get puffed up with knowledge and have no life. It kind of amazes me in our present cultural moment how smart and dumb we are at the same time. Do y'all kind of feel that way? We're supposed to be technologically advanced. Yet, I mean, statistically, and my colleagues hate it when I bring up their very own statistics to show that their very own processes are failing miserably. Their experiment, our poverty experiment, failed. We have more of it today than we did when the blessed healers of poverty started in the 60s. It didn't work. But they can't say it didn't work. Why? It was their idea. And they're infallible. Instead of saying, hey, it didn't work. Let's go back. Let's reroute. Let's see what went wrong. And let's solve the problem. How many of y'all understand? We got very few people today that want to solve the problem. And divisions affect everything. Paul hits it right off the bat. You can see the frustration of the Apostle Paul. He's this new church, Bob, in Corinth. The Church of Jesus Christ in Corinth has started. And Paul is kind of walking back in and he's exasperated. It hasn't taken very long for them to start following something other than Jesus. Now, how many of y'all realize if you're going to follow Jesus, what's your bullseye? Jesus. Come on, one more time. Jesus. It's not a messenger of Jesus, but it's who? Jesus. We're in this today. I have seen the church divided, but I've never seen it divided like it is today. And the reason it's divided is because we want recognition and we want to recognize with something other than Jesus. Why do you think Jesus is not enough for a lot of people? Come on, talk to me. Why is Jesus not enough? Here's what I find. We don't like what he says. See, Jesus says things like this. Deny yourself. Ah! Jesus, don't say that. It's really about me. I'm special. I'm wonderful. They told me in first grade that I was intelligent and marvelous. They gave me a trophy for just being on the team. Surely I'm beautiful and wonderful and gracious. And you needed me in heaven. Right, Leonard? They need you in heaven. And Jesus says, no. I'm wonderful, I'm marvelous, I'm holy, I'm divine, I'm forever, I'm perfect, and I love you so much, I'm going to grace you into this. We are not guaranteed heaven. How many of y'all realize that we're not guaranteed heaven? We don't get to go to heaven because we're born, we get to go to heaven because Jesus was sent. How many of y'all understand that clearly? Well, then here's what happens. Jesus makes it happen. Can we agree there? How many of y'all agree Jesus makes it happen? How many of y'all are this far along? At Hillview, surely you've heard this before. You cannot save yourself. How many of y'all got that message down? Now, some of you ask me, why do you pound that Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? Because this is not the message of other parts of the church. And it hasn't been the message for other parts of the church for many, many years. I remember when I was young, they said, now, if you're going to follow Jesus, you can't have hair over your ears. Back then, back in the 70s, it was a sin if hair went over your ears. I mean, and I'm talking just right over the top of your ears. And for me, you see how little my ears are. It didn't take much to get over my ears. Jack, you remember this controversy, hair go over the ears. People were hippies. They were no good. And so you remember, Paul, if you followed Jesus, all the men had to have what? boom, you had to have them sideburns, you had to have it cut up. I mean, it was crazy. Now, that has nothing to do with salvation, true? How many of you ladies remember now? You can't. I mean, there's some parts of the church that believe if you wear makeup, it's sinful. I believe you're sinful if you don't wear makeup sometimes. You see what I'm saying? I mean, I believe that God has given us gifts to cover up, you know, things that need to be covered up. Amen? But I'm just giving you some examples of some things we get into in the life of the church that have nothing to do with the gospel. I remember when I was a teenager, we had a youth pastor and he hated rock and roll music. And he was a classical musician and he really thought a bunch of teenagers were going to, you know, I was going to go to my 67 Chevelle, Super Sport, 327. Dave, back when cars were real. And, you know, on Friday night, I was going to hook up the fifth movement of Bach. Could you just heard that on Friday night? You know, blah, 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 blah. No. ZZ Top, she got legs. And so I was a sinner and I was a heathen because I listened to what? Now, you all know I'm telling the truth. How many of y'all know I tell the truth? You've heard this jazz through the years. Bart, you were a pastor's son, and what happened to your hair back then? Remember, I remember. It was long, and the Rabbi Britt had to go, Jesus had long hair. He's not going to hell. It's the grace of Jesus. He's an artist. He looks like one. This is the way God's made him. Yeah, do what? And Jimi Hendrix was playing. Now, watch this. Y'all are laughing. Y'all are using names that the 11 o'clock service has no idea who they are. You know, where's BJ? BJ's wondering. You know, I was laughing. BJ said, I don't know what's happened to this church sometimes in its worship. I do. It's 22 years older. And those who used to stand for a long time now have the inability to stand for a long time. Those who used to go like this could stand there like this, and now they go and they say, Lord, I love you, but the arthritis in my shoulders bringing my praise down a little. Huh? It's just part of life. Paul said, let there be no division among you. Church, today, if you hear what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us and saying to the church, if we would embrace this, this changes the world more than anything. Stay centered in Jesus. We all agree in Jesus. We all agree in Jesus. It's about who? Jesus. He tells us this in verse 10. Follow me. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters. By the way, who's got to be in agreement? Brothers and sisters. Yeah. We're all in this together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you will be perfectly united in mind and thought. Hold that. Now, those of us in the church in mind and thought, this is where we got to be unified. Okay? The cross and the resurrection is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the centerpiece of our life. And let me tell you what happens to us sometimes. Would you agree that we all have a list? Everybody's got an individual list. Brady, you got a list. And I got a list. And on my list and your list, not all of our list agrees. Shirley, you got a list. Watch this. I'm just going to use Freddie and Shirley because they can take it. Shirley, you got a list, right? And Freddie's got a list. And y'all been married now for 40 years, hadn't you? 43. That's a long time to be married to Freddie. A lot of people would call that hell, but you call it a blessing. Okay, now look at this. So you got Freddie's list and you got your list and y'all have been together for 43 years. Do you all agree with everything on your list? So you all have had to become united in spirit and mind and not in list. Now be careful with this because this is what was going on. We all get our little list and we find people that agree with our list. And I want you to hear me very clearly. You're a very immature believer, if a believer at all, if you demand your personal list on another human being. Now you must agree in who? Jesus. Watch this. This is serious stuff. This is not trivial stuff. Division is destroying the nation we live in right now. I thought Dr. Carson, if you had a moment to hear him speak at the National Prayer Breakfast, he spoke with such dignity, such poise, such refreshingness. He didn't speak partisan. He spoke common sense with an intellectual value, with the spiritual truth, and he spoke with dignity and grace. Now, a lot of people don't like his story because it indicts the other people's story. He came from nothing and became something. We don't like that story anymore because he took advantage of the opportunities he had. Okay? And he feels very good about America because he became from nothing and got to become what? Something. I don't know if you know his story, but it's a pretty interesting story. He grew up in poverty. He grew up in a ghetto. He's an African-American gentleman. He grew up. His mother came from a family of 24. She had a third grade education. I find this powerful, Merle. I found especially with public education. He realized that the Detroit public school system was his opportunity to take advantage of. He had a public school that he could go to. He quoted in his speech, he said, oh, man. He was a goof off in school. I related to that when he said he's goofing off. He's blowing his opportunity until he read some history and realized that one of the reasons that African-Americans weren't allowed to read, it was illegal to teach a slave to read in slavery. Did y'all realize that? And here's why. Because if you teach someone value and you teach someone intellect, then they'll become liberated. See, one of the things when you want to control people is you have to dumb down the education system. That's the first approach to getting control. You want others to tell you what to believe instead of being able to think and to perceive. But you see, what's so liberating about Jesus is he's always teaching and training God from the very beginning, thousands of years before there was the United States of America. Teach and train up a child in the ways they'll what? Go. You see that educational component that they would know and they would discern and they would find value. They would learn how to think and agree to what is significant. He tells the funniest story. He said his mother did something radical. By the way, his what? Mother, bless his heart. I don't know how this guy made it. It's just amazing. He came out of a single mother's house. I don't even know how he's accomplished what he did. He's black from a single mother's home. You're not supposed to be able to make it. Oh, by the way, he's a pediatric neurosurgeon at Johns Hopkins University. MD, PhD. You know how he made it? Jesus. He didn't speak religiously. He didn't speak about the denomination he participated in. He didn't speak about the worship style that he chose to worship under. He didn't speak about the theological component that he decided to hinge his thought process to. He spoke the name of Jesus to the nation. Paul spoke the name of Jesus to Corinth. At Hillview Heights Church, we have to continue to speak the name of Jesus to what? To the world, to Bowling Green, Kentucky. So watch this. Our first speaking point, our first tell it point is neighborhood in Bowling Green, Kentucky. And from the neighborhood in Bowling Green, Kentucky, it looks like we're going to get out to Guatemala, to Costa Rica, to Brazil, to Kenya, Africa. There's all kinds of these parts, but we got to speak it where we live. And you got to speak it at the house. There'd be no division among you. How many of y'all think that's a pretty good marriage verse? There'd be no division among you. Elizabeth and I know that y'all find this very hard. She and I don't have the same list. And as we have journeyed through marriage, sometimes our lists tangle with each other. I think it needs to be done this way. You think it needs to be done that way. How many of y'all that are married have found that in your marriage at least a couple times? Components. And listen, we have so many divorces because we demand our list instead of God's list. Paul's very pointed here. Agree in the name of Jesus. May your mind and may your thoughts be that in Jesus. Church, listen, our agreement is in Jesus Christ. It's in three points here. Connect others to Jesus Christ. How many of y'all have heard that 1,000 times? I want to tell you, man, people go the extra mile. Dr. Carson's mother went the extra mile. She had a third grade education. I just thought how funny this was. She actually parented. So this is an encouragement to parents. It still works in difficult times. His mother took him to the public library. How many of y'all are glad we got public libraries? All right, I'm not pitching for the library, but thank God everybody has access to books. Now, you might have to get up and go walk to find the book, okay? But not even here. We have a bookmobile. It'll even bring it near your house. You don't have to walk as far, okay? Tim Murley's mother drove a bookmobile over at Burksville, and she used to stuff Tim in there and make him stay for hours till he finally read a book. He read Curious George, and after that, we made him superintendent of the schools. You see what I'm saying? There's opportunity. There's opportunity in the house, all right? Watch this. I thought this was an amazing mother story. His mother made his brother and him, they turned off the TV and they only got 2 hours of TV a week. Now back then, you know, back in his era of time, it's only two channels anyway, okay? Took them to the public library and they had to do book reports. Now you teachers will find it. You teachers may do this too. I don't know. His mother didn't know how to read. But she would take a red pen and put checks and check pluses and grade their book reviews. He said it wasn't until our adult life that we figured out that she really couldn't grade our book reviews. And by then we had educated ourselves. I want to ask you, church, where's that spirit in our culture gone? And I'm going to call us back to that spirit. That we would agree that we want, how many of y'all can agree on this? That we want every human being to be the best possible human being they can be in the name of Jesus. Okay, here's what drives me. I want every human being to be the best possible human being they can be. And I know, Pastor Mark, the best human being is saved by grace. So that's why we got to tell the message of Jesus. Paul says, be careful, because let me tell you what they were doing. They were following the teacher instead of the teaching. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household, guess what? They've informed me that there are quarrels among you. Now, Hillview, I want to thank you all. Listen, as soon as I say this, it'll break out crazy, all right? The number one thing that kills the witness of the church is quarrels among the church. And if you're going to be a mature believer, here's what I've found. You testify more and quarrel less. Do you notice Jesus didn't quarrel with people? He didn't argue with the Pharisees. He said, these are the things of God. These are the things of heaven. And he didn't sit around and try to prove his point. You either accepted them or you what? You rejected them. You accepted them or you what? Rejected them. And that's really the things in faith, okay? If anybody here questions it and says, well, you know what? I don't believe there's another way to heaven. I don't think Jesus is the only way. I think, what about all these other people? I think there's some other ways to heaven. Let me tell you what, you're not a believer. Yeah, that's right. I don't care how long you sit at Hillview Heights Church. I don't care how many books you read. And guess what? This culture will tell you you're wonderful. They'll tell you that you're in the groove. They'll tell you that you're enlightened. And you're headed to hell. You won't be the first philosopher to hit hell, thinking that your mind is greater than what God said. By the way, if you would just simply let logic enter into your brain cells, is that not the very first sin of humanity? That you would be just like God. Don't eat from the tree. That you would be just like God. You see, that's what's happening here in Corinth. Doesn't take them long, and they start dividing. Now, let's think about it for a minute, because we all deal with division, man. We see it everywhere. We see it in our workplace. We see it in our churches. We see it in our governments. We see it in the human response. Why do we like to divide? Come on, I'm talking. Ask me, why do we do it? How many of you all have noticed we do divide? Let me take care of some. How many of you all have seen that human beings divide? Well, why do we have this? Upper class, middle class, lower class. What are those? Divisions. Who said that was that? You know the difference between rich people and poor people? Anybody know? Rich people have more money. They go to the same heaven and the same hell that everybody else does. And you can't buy your way in. They're people. I mean, y'all know how we do it. Watch, we do it like this when it comes to the issue of alcohol. If you got an alcohol problem, you make over $100,000 a year. Have you noticed that? If you make somewhere from $50,000 to $60,000, you're an alcoholic. And if you make below $20,000, you're daggum drunk. You know, the only difference, one drinks Cook's beer and the other one has a martini. And they end up at the same what? You know, we have top shelf and what? Bottom shelf, and they all send you to the same hell. Have you all seen that? They all get you to the same place. But we like what? Divisions among us. Right? Now you got to be careful. Watch, we're always going to honor some things more than other things. True or false? I mean, I remember when I graduated, guess what? I was excited about graduating. Any of you just excited about graduating? How many of y'all were excited? Merle, I know you were. You read Curious George 1 and Curious George 2, and that got you through high school. Merle, you were probably like this. Did you graduate with Lisa? Did you go to Lisa's graduation? You didn't get to go? Did you see pictures of her in her robe? Yeah, college, yeah. Did you see all that stuff she had around her neck? Yeah, you were probably like me. I never will forget. I looked at Elizabeth and I said, how come I didn't get some of those cord things? Did I forget something? She goes, honey, these are for like... No, you weren't mean. You were always sweet. You go, well, I'm a cum... What was it? You're a cum laude, what? Mono cum... Yeah, well, she's one of them Lotties. She stood up when they honored the honor graduates. The whole time, we were married when we graduated, and I looked and I said, Lord, I have married way above myself. She came out looking like a lamp at a hardware store. She had tassels and all kinds of stuff. I had a funny square hat. I didn't even, we rented the robe. Yeah, I had a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses, and glad they's letting me out. I graduated Get Out, and she graduated Kamalumi, Namalumi, all that kind of stuff. Okay, but guess what? She never said I was less than because I didn't have any cords. She's real sweet. She said, honey, there's a couple things I can think of that you do better than me. And you need to do those things. And you need to hold to them for a lifetime. Because there's just a couple. See what I'm saying? No, you didn't say that. There's divisions. Now, here's what I want us to see. Hillview, I want to thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've done a fairly good job. We've had moments we've slipped off this rail. But I want you to remember, nobody is greater than anybody. And Jesus is the greatest of all. Nobody is greater than anybody. And Jesus is what? Greatest of all. Mark, can you write that one down? That's something that we got to embrace and agree upon. Everybody has a route to grace. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me, there are quarrels among you. Church, I want to tell you, if there's one thing we can do in the world, is quit quarreling about things that are not eternal. We've really messed a lot of people up in this. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, yay? Especially in South Central Kentucky, we all got our little list, and we want to impose our list on each other. That's not what we're supposed to go and tell. We're not supposed to go talk about our list. We're supposed to go tell people about His grace. Does that make sense? That's really the truth. Because look what happens. This is what Paul said, I mean. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another one says, I follow Apollos. Another one says, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Lord have mercy, it sounds like a pastor's conference. They still do it today. They choose the pastor that they think is wonderful, and everything he says is absolute. Any of y'all say you follow Steve Ayers, I'll say that's a lie. It's not about following me. It's not about following Pastor Mark. It's not about following Pastor Jamie. One of the things that we have realized in this staff a long time ago, it's not about us. It's about the message in us. Well, let me tell you what, that's a hard battle here at Hillview. You know what? There's a lot of sneaky little wolves that get in here sometimes. By the way, I just want to let you know so you'll help find wolves. Wolves quote a lot of Bible verses. But I watch what they try to do. Anybody that tries to divide is not anointed by the Holy Spirit. Anybody that demands their own way is not following the Holy Spirit. Let me show you why. The Holy Spirit will always, listen to this word, Leonard, demand the things of Jesus. Because see, the Holy Spirit just is like a big, huge spotlight on who at all times? Jesus. Holy Spirit, there. You know, I have these friends, they go, whoa, we went to this Holy Ghost meeting and boy, I feel good. Guess what? The Holy Ghost, it was not created so that you feel good. The Holy Ghost don't come in 100 proof. The Holy Ghost is not there for you. It's there to show you Jesus. Jesus is there for who? You, Jesus saved you. The Holy Ghost empowers and testifies and brings revelation and exposes. He exposes and verifies the teaching of Jesus Christ. But he's not there for the tingles. Now, sometimes when you get overwhelmed by Jesus and you get the tingles. How many of y'all have ever just been overwhelmed by the grace of God and you got the tingles? Okay, but here's what I'm telling you. It's not about the tingles. And we had churches in the 80s. They were tingle houses. Everybody'd go in, they'd tell me, oh, Lord, the Holy Ghost was everywhere. I mean, people falling out, and they're jumping up and down, doing back cartwheels. And I said, who got saved? And they said, nobody. I said, I'll be glad when y'all become an Acts 2 church. Because when you're an Acts 2 church, the Holy Spirit leads to the salvation of those. Don't forget in Acts 2, not only did they speak with tongues of fire, that's absolutely true, but guess what? 3,000 were baptized that day. What about that sector? And see, watch this. We divide denominations up. One group only goes a few verses into Acts 2. The other one only goes the back verses into Acts 2. And guess what? Paul says, it's all of it. That we would be anointed with his power. We would agree in mind and spirit. So be careful. Who do we ultimately follow? Where is unity found? Jesus. If we all follow Jesus, what happens to the church? Unity. We're yet to hit that moment where everybody's been unified on the same note in worship. One day I hope we hit it. I don't know if we're going to be able to stand it. But if every mind and heart at one time in a worship moment was focused on Jesus Christ, can you imagine the anointing that would come over a place? And somebody wasn't looking around going, well, I wonder why she's wearing that, or I wonder why he came today, or Lord have mercy, I can't believe that church even let somebody like that in here. And we got to watch it, okay? Some of you may say, well, I follow Murley, or I follow Hampton, or I follow Lowe. I know those three guys. You're in trouble. If you look at the staff and say, well, I follow Ward, or I follow Ayers, or I follow Hill, or I follow, you know, Eaton, you're in big trouble. We, now watch how it changes, Timmy. We follow who?
Jesus.
We're all subject to Jesus. Well, they were all dividing up. Hillview, be careful over those who create divisions among us. They are enemies of the devil. They are the devil's enemies, excuse me, that come into a church to do what? Divide. Oh, it starts instantly. I remember when Jamie preached his first sermon. Jamie's pretty sharp. Here comes some church. Oh, I tell you what, you preach a lot better than theirs. Yeah, that's true. But guess what? Jamie knew the scripture. That's why I hired Jamie. He knew the scripture. I knew that Jamie was mature enough to not get puffed up by the little wolves. We got sheep and wolf clothing there in every church. But what were they trying to do? Divide. Want Jamie and I to get in a preaching war. We'd care less about that. We preach so that people could be saved. See, that's why the wolf couldn't get in. We preach so that people could be saved. We don't preach so we can write books or publish CDs or be so humble that we become millionaires. We don't have that gig here, so it's harder to divide it. What causes divisions quicker than anything in our culture? Think. Money. We want what we want most of the time because it yields what? Money. Be careful. Don't divide. And we live in a very divided time. Watch this. The Republicans and the Democrats are so divided they can't even see that both, they've lost their point. They don't know that they're supposed to lead the nation. Huh? I think today, if you walked outside and said the sun's out today, if the Democrats said the sun's out today, the Republicans say that's not really sunshine, it's artificial ultraviolet rays. They couldn't just say, yes, it is. Because we've lost our point that we're supposed to lead, we're supposed to have a nation. We watch this, we do it in marriage. We divide ourselves. How many of y'all ever keep a little scoreboard? Well, I took the garbage out. Well, I made the bed up. Any of y'all ever done that in marriage? Oh, that's awful. Really, if you're still doing that in marriage and you're in this service, you need to grow up. It's not, you know, Jack, Sue, watch this. Sue's lived with you. She doesn't expect you to fix anything at the house, does she? Because she's seen you fix things at the house before, which led to a massive reconstruction bill. She knows. But what if it was on her list that you weren't worthy if you didn't fix stuff? You'd be in trouble. You know, I've heard ladies go, well, my dad fixed everything in the house. I said, well, you should have married your daddy. I don't fix stuff. Elizabeth doesn't ask me to fix stuff because she's seen me attempt it before. One time I put a shower in for her when we were newly married. I thought I'd done a pretty good job till I came to this realization. Did y'all know if you're putting PVC pipe together, there's a hot water glue and there's a cold water glue? Well, Eddie, I was unaware of this small tidbit of information. We're in this rental house. So I said, Elizabeth, I fixed you a shower in here. Every house we rented didn't have a shower in it. Got her shower fixed up. And I said, go in there and take you a shower. Well, I can't believe she did this. She used hot water. Midway through the shower, the pipes blow. And hot water is bursting through the wall all over the place. She's in there screaming, something's wrong with a shower. I said, ain't nothing wrong with that shower. I opened the door and water's flying all over the bathroom. Then I had another problem. I didn't know where you'd turn the water off on the main. Needless to say, this was many of our young married adventures. After that, we got another house. I said, I'll try to put a shower in there. And she said, no. She said, go preach a revival and pray that they love you, and we'll call a plumber to go put the shower in. She said, honey, I've come to believe that you can only do one thing, talk. See what I'm saying? But what if she became very disgruntled because I was incapable of doing showers? Our list causes divisions. And I think today I really want us to get away from our list and into Christ's teachings. That's what Paul called them to. Guess what he said? Be careful. It's not who you follow. Then they got all enamored with who baptized them. Is Christ divided? There's the question. Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Were you baptized into the name of Paul? No. I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the whole household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else, Paul said. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel. Now watch this, and it's a note, and we're going to move on. Not with wisdom and elegance. Now you say, what did he include that for? At that time, see if this doesn't sound familiar. If you were a great orator, now you got to remember, we don't have any TV shows. We don't have any TV shows in Corinth. So they had orators, those who could present and communicate. And if you were a great orator, and we got in the scripture here, I follow Apollos. Guess who was one of the great orators of that time? Apollos. Jeff, Apollos could speak and woo them. And so if you were a great communicator, you rose in status, Jasper, real quick. You were kind of a celebrity. So you know what Paul's saying? I didn't come as a celebrity. I didn't come with wisdom. I didn't come with polished words. Elegance. Lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Here's where our unity is. Here's where we become absolutely unified. At the cross. It's amazing. What's one of the big words in the 21st century? You hear it every day. Equality. Equality. It's all about rights and equality. You hear it every day. It's in the paper. It's on the TV. It's in our conversation. I call it, I live in the generation of wah-wah. wham, wham, that's not fair, and wham, wham, that's not equal, and wham, wham. And here's why. Because what we think, and I'm going to tell you, this is going to kill us all. Jim Britt, you've watched it erode, in my opinion. You're going to kill it. It's going to kill us all. There's one thing that we can't do. We can't create equality. And in our creation of equality, we will always create division. There's only one thing that creates equality: God Almighty. You and I are sinners. You want me to tell you where we're equal? We've all sinned, and none of us can work our way into heaven. Amen. And we have to have the tension of life to fly. I go back to Dr. Carson's wonderful communication moment. He said, the symbol of our nation is a what? What bird do we use? Eagle. Why didn't we choose a turkey? Why didn't we choose a dove? It's always an eagle, a bird of great strength. It's interesting. The eagle has a left wing and the eagle has a right wing. Can the eagle soar on one wing? It can't even what? Fly. How many of y'all have ever learned this? Some people that don't agree with you have some good ideas if you listen to them. One of the things that I found over the years of being married to Elizabeth that improved our marriage is actually listening to her at times. You know, now when she tells me, after all these years, when she says, hey, you might need to watch that, guess what I do? I watch it. In the beginning, I thought, she doesn't, and guess what? Everything she told me to watch, Chuck, guess what happened? I thought I was married to some kind of prophetess. She'd say, you need to watch so-and-so, and I'd go, oh, honey. Then a year later, I was going, oh, honey, I can't believe it. And she was just gracious. She said, I tried to tell you. How many of y'all found that the people that love you want the best for you? And there's a tension. And in the tension, it creates current. And guess what? You can't soar without tension. But we want to make division honorable instead of unity absolute. Paul said, I demand that you agree in mind. The cross and the resurrection is not a discussion. It's an absolute. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm a postmodern. I don't believe in absolutes. Well, that's how. Seriously, what has happened to your brain? Just think for a moment. Think. Try to think. Push it and see if it'll think. To say there are no absolutes, that is an absolute. You have to have an absolute to start. All atheists have an absolute. They say there is no God. That's their absolute. They operate off that fence post. Our absolute is this. We believe that Jesus Christ would save any human being. How many of you all absolutely believe that? I believe we find common ground. I've never met a human being that hadn't blown it. Have you all? And then guess what? We're all saved the same way. Isn't that neat? Same blood, same cross, same resurrection. And so as we go tell it to the world, we tell the same message. So be careful, church. This is a grow-up sermon today. Be careful of taking your little Bible list and making it gospel. That's a very, very good way to be used by the enemy. The cross and the resurrection is the message of the gospel. Amen. The message of the gospel is nothing else. The rest of the stuff is to help you understand the why. Cross and the resurrection. It starts there, it stays there, and it finishes there. Does that make sense? All right, y'all get something today?
Yes.
Watch the quarrels. Let me give you one last thing as I close the invitation. When you get ready to fight or argue, use this grid. If I win this argument, is eternity advanced? If I win this argument, who is recognized? See, if you're going to win, you need to see what you win when you win. Make sense? That's why I know I frustrate a lot of you real religious folk. Because really, a lot of the stuff that you hold to in the long run, it just don't matter. You know, people ask me all the time, what translation of the Bible do I need to read? The one you understand. And if thee, thou-eth, thou-eth, wo-eth, yo-eth provides understanding to you, thee, thou, thou-eth, wo-eth. If you understand better without the thee, thou, with woeth, read that one. If you want to read the English Standard Version, guess what? It's just like the rest of them. It's not superiorly anointed. It has the same message in it. We've all sinned. That's called humanity. Jesus saves. That's called a Savior. The cross, that is the way. The resurrection, that is the testimony that the way works. And the same words are in there. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord repents of their sin and believes they will be. That's in every translation. Isn't that cool? Well, let's stand together. Y'all been more than wonderful. I hope you've got some things today. Stay out of division. Stay out of division. And watch this. How many of y'all believe this? We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our leaders. All of them. Love them. Pray for them. How many of y'all pray for President Obama? Pray for him. Pray for the Congress. Pray for other leaders in nations. Pray for Benjamin Netanyahu as they put a government back together in Israel. Pray for the government. Pray that there not be quarrels, but there would be what? Truth. Now, guess what? Some of you today need to do exactly what that last word of that invitation was. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. So, Pastor Harris, why does my life stink? Number one reason, you're not saved. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Steve said that today, didn't you, Steve? You said, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've not done things like I needed to do. But I realize that Jesus is the Savior. How many of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sin? I can't begin to tell you how everything for eternity changes in you if you will do that. How many of you all realize that the only way we're going to stand good on the day of judgment is what Jesus did is for real. Every one of us stands there. Isn't that cool? For all of you that bear some kind of religious title, I tell pastors this all the time. God will not call me Pastor Steve. He'll call me Steve.
That's right.
I've never been enamored with this title. Because I read the Bible. I'm a sinner saved by grace by an old rugged cross and an empty tomb. And the only good thing I got to say is because of an old rugged cross and an empty tomb. All else fades. There's only a few things good about getting old. I hadn't found an abundance of them, have y'all? I tell you one thing, though, that's a greater blessing. It may make up for all of them. How many of y'all have noticed this? The older you get, Randall, not that you're ancient or anything, but let's say seasoned at least, amen, by now. Haven't you noticed that what you used to worry about, you don't worry about anymore? And what used to just fester you up now is a trivial event. Because truth gets stronger the longer you live. The longer I live, I have one word that works, really, Jesus. And every day that I live, he gets brighter, stronger, and more real than he was before. Because he's real. Isn't that cool? And so today, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to invite you to come and repent in your sins and receive Jesus. Because I don't have anything greater than that. Because guess what? There's nothing greater than that. And if you haven't been baptized, I'm going to encourage you to come and be baptized. We immerse here for this reason. We want you to know that what you used to be is dead. Somebody asked me, they said, well, why don't you sprinkle? I said, because we're not here to wash away sin. We're here to crucify it. And we're at Hillview. We don't need to be washed off. We need to be buried. And guess what, brother? Sister? And then after we're buried, we're what? Risen. Here's why I do immersion baptism. Can y'all notice every once in a while I get to telling a story, I'll be on a subject, and I'll start telling another story? Brother, if I was baptizing you, what would you be praying for, especially when I buried you in the name of Jesus Christ? that I get to that risen part pretty quick, right? Because if I had you down there and then started, hey, by the way, did y'all hear about this? What would happen? You would be buried in Jesus, okay? And I want you to know that we're dead to what we used to be, but we're alive to what we can be. And that rhythm ought to drive us every week to be more than we really are. Amen. And so, Hillview, I want to thank you for agreeing on the cross and the resurrection. I want to thank you for something else. We've done a pretty good job. We're not all the way there. We still got some work at it because that's just part of living together. Don't take your personal list and try to demand it into another human being. But do take God's truth and share it with another human being. Say, I'm not going to go tell them about my list. You know what I'm talking about, BJ? I'm not going to go tell them about what I prefer. I'm going to go tell them what Jesus has said. And I've read it over and over and over again over the decades. Guess what? Lindsay said this. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Steve Ayers didn't say that. Charles Stanley didn't say that. Chuck Swindoll didn't say that. Peter Marshall didn't say that. Billy Graham didn't say that. The Apostle Paul didn't say that. Mark Driscoll didn't say that. Dave Platt didn't say that. Al Mohler didn't even say that. God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, sent his Son in the name of Jesus to be the Savior of the world, to die on a cross and to rise from death victorious. God not only said it, he proved it in his Son Jesus. Lord, bring us to the altar, bring us to truth, bring us to agreement, bring us to unity, bring us to purpose, bring us to life. And just as BJ told us, reminded us in worship today, may we not forget that the journey continues to be a celebration. And Lord, as our bodies grow older, may our spirits grow greater. Amen. And may we be lifted up by you. Come right now. Let's pray. Let's pray for our church. Pray for our city. Pray for our families. Pray for that next generation that we sang about this morning. Pray that God raise us up and make us who we are in the name of Jesus. Come on. Thank you for coming. If you need to talk about baptism, talk about salvation, the Lord's drawing you to faith. It's what our pastors are here to talk about. Come on, church. You know, hey, what if everybody came and prayed today? I wonder what that would look like. Unity of agreement and prayer that God, our city, our county, those who are lost will be saved.